Hey, welcome. I'm glad to see y'all today. Glad you could be here for this service of worship. We're so happy that you've come. I talked to folks at 9 o'clock this morning. A lot of our regular people, but a lot of people who are irregular. Wait, that didn't come out right. There were guests. There were newcomers here, and they came at 9 o'clock. You know, we have people come from all over the country and Canada, and they come back. I don't know why I preach, and they still come back. But I'm always glad to see all of you. Do we have any Floridians here today, I wonder? Yeah, I thought we might have a few. Well, listen, I'm glad that you came. Now, listen, the band, didn't the band do good?
Yeah.
They did such a good job. They always do. I worked with them all week, and they just get better and better, don't they? I tell you what. Now, last Sunday, I tell you, I always take Thanksgiving weekend off, and people say, you took the Sunday off. I said, no, I gave you the Sunday off. But a lot of folks on staff, a lot of the associates preached last week, and so it was my pleasure to watch them. Steve Irwin preached out at the beach service at Sharkey's, and I watched him preach, and then I watched Bill Small, and he was preaching here, and then Farah went out to Carillon. She was out there because Doug Pennington, I grew up with Doug. He's a preacher. He's retired. He didn't want to preach every Sunday. He's retired. And so he comes over here to our bullpen of our associate ministers and steals one of them, and we take turns sending them out there. And I listened to all of them. They did such a good job. I would have listened to Carmen. She was at Seagrass down the road here, but I didn't get to listen to her because it wasn't online. I told her if she'd get it online, I'd listen to her too. So I got my sermons in last week. I want you to, and Cameron sang a solo last week. That was just the way we practiced, baby. That was great. She did so good. Man, she's good. So we got great people. You didn't even know I wasn't here last Sunday, did you? Because everybody did such a good job. What a wonderful church it is. And I'm so glad that you're a part of it. Now listen, real quick before we get started, I had to do something after Thanksgiving. I had to go, you know, I've got another congregation. Do you know that, don't you? Time of confession. You're not the only ones. Did you know that? Because I have another congregation at Publix. I go talk to the people. I go talk to the employees over there. I go visit with them. And so I was at the pharmacy Monday because I'm old and I got a lot of medicine. So I'm at the pharmacy. And so this lady's waiting on me. And there was a lull at the pharmacy. I mean, that never happens, but there was. I was not holding anybody up behind me. I was just there talking and visiting, and I was waiting on the medicine. So I asked the young lady who was helping me, I said, now, Timber, what did you do for Thanksgiving? She said, well, we had turkey and dressing, and they had a traditional Thanksgiving. It was all real good, and she told me all about it. Now, I've told you about my pharmacist, right? My pharmacist is from Ukraine. And when I first went in there, it was her first day. She was working there, and I was talking to the lady waiting on me. I was not bothering the pharmacist because she's busy over there counting the pills. And so I just left her alone. And I told that lady that was waiting on me, I'm just trying to cheer her up, give her a good day. And I said, now listen, I'm going to come back and talk to you. I like you. I'm going to come back and talk to you again. And the pharmacist said, are you going to come back and talk to me? And I said, you don't know me very well, do you? Just remember, you asked for this. And so now, every time I go in Publix, I don't care who she's talking to or what she's doing, I speak to her. Hey, pharmacist lady, good to see you. How's it going? And she always speaks to me because she told me, you got to speak to me. Then there was another lady, and she always talks to me too. And she was there. And so I said to her, I said, now, to the pharmacist, what did you have for Thanksgiving? She had duck. Duck. And I brought that up at the last service. And I said, hey, the pharmacist said she had duck. Did anybody else have anything unusual? And somebody said they had pheasant. And I said, well, okay, la-di-da. And then, but this was the topper. I asked this lady on the end, I said, what did you have for Thanksgiving? I promise I'm not making this up. She said I had French toast. I said, where are you from? She said, Huntsville, Alabama. I said, is that a tradition up there? Because we got a house in Birmingham. Maybe I need to learn some things before I move. And so, no, she said, but I doctored it up. Oh, you doctored it up. Well, why didn't you say so? Now I get it. So she doctored it up. So next year, if you want something different for Thanksgiving, French toast, but make sure and doctor it up. You with me? Is anyone here today? Are you... Is this the dress rehearsal? Is there anybody? Hello? I can't see you. I can't hear you. There's nothing. Okay, thanks so much. Now, during this Christmas season, this is an opportunity for all of us to do something. This is a chance for us to surrender. To surrender to God and say, now, God, what is it that you want me to surrender this year? What is it that you want to say to me this time of the year in Advent? What is it I need to hear? What is it that maybe I need to look at? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a job opportunity. Maybe it's your future. It could be a wayward child. What is it that you need to surrender to God? Because, you know, it's a lifestyle of generosity, of just trying to bless other people. And that's an opportunity that we all have in one way or another. And so just try to make somebody smile wherever you go. Just try to say a kind word. It's a busy time. People are working. You know, they're involved in trying to get ready for Christmas. They need a little bit of patience. They need a little bit of encouragement. So what does surrender look like? Well, surrender is not a moment in time. It's moments in time. Now, you know this is true. In your life, you haven't had to surrender to God just one time. But you've had to surrender to Him many times. And you will have to surrender many times in the future. Because God has always given us new challenges. And He's always saying to us, hey, look, this is something new. I want you to do it. And we think, I can't do it. I don't have any experience. I'm not coached and planned and educated. I don't have that kind of talent. And God says, you don't have to. Hey, listen, just be faithful and obedient, and I'll show you what it is I want you to do. So during this time, pray and ask God. I challenge you. I dare you. Ask Him, Lord, what do I need to surrender? Now let's look at this scripture, because we're going to talk about that today. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a village in Galilee. Gabriel shows up three times in the Bible, and he speaks to different people. He first comes to Daniel, and then he speaks to Zechariah. Zechariah is Elizabeth's husband. And then this time when he comes to Mary. And scholars believe that Nazareth, this tiny town that I've been to a couple of times, that it's probably no more than about 10 to 30 acres at that time. I mean, it's a tiny little place, teeny, right? And that's where Mary is from. Now, in John, Jesus is calling his disciples. He said, Philip, come on. Philip says, wait just a minute. Let me get Nathanael. And he goes to him and he said, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, is calling us. Let's go. And then Nathanael says this particular word in John. He says, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Well, that's probably the way a lot of people feel. If you're from a small town, sometimes you don't even want to tell people where your hometown is, because they're not going to know where it is anyway. And so you just name the biggest city close to it, right? Because after all, can anything good come out of that little bitty tiny town? And that's the way people looked at Nazareth, just a small town. You know, maybe you came from a small town, or maybe you came from a broken background. And maybe you've got a lot of hurt. And maybe you've got a lot of pain, and maybe you've got a lot of scars, and maybe you've got a lot of emotional baggage, and you don't even want to talk about your past because you don't think anybody can understand. God wants to pull you out of those places because He's got plans for you. Look at the person next to you and say, God has plans for you. Go ahead and tell them that right now. You know, we say, I don't have the looks, Lord. I don't have the education. I don't have the experience. And God said, I don't care about all that. I'm just asking you to be available and obedient to me. It doesn't matter. And God says, you know, I can work in your circumstances. And I can work in your situation. And I can do all kinds of things if you will just allow me to do that. But you have to allow me to do that. And so Nazareth, this tiny little place, that's where Mary is from. And it goes on in Scripture and says, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Because, I mean, if you come from Nazareth and you're nobody, she's a young teenage girl, maybe 13, 14, 15 years old. They don't know exactly. But she's not anybody. She doesn't have a family that's prestigious. She's nothing special in her eyes. And yet, this is what Gabriel is saying to her, and she's scratching her head and saying, have you got the right person? Just this young woman from this tiny little town, 20 acres or so. It's just a tiny place, maybe 200 people, 400 people at the most in the population there. And let's go back to the verse. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Wouldn't that make you feel special? You're favored by God. The Lord is with you. Hey, you've got good news today. Now, Gabriel appeared these other times I mentioned in Scripture to Daniel and Zechariah, and then finally to Mary, and they shook with fear. But Mary was confused and disturbed. Why did he come to me? Favored woman, the Lord is with you. Are you familiar with imposter syndrome? Imposter syndrome, let me tell you the definition. It's the persistent inability to believe that your success is deserved or has been legitimately achieved as a result of your own efforts and skills. My nephew, Andrew Lay, he's a preacher up in the Tennessee Conference. They called him and they said he was serving in a big church. He was an associate. They said, we want you to go to the biggest church in the conference in Knoxville, Tennessee. We want you to be the preaching associate there. And I texted him. I'd been to that church, and I told him how proud I was of him, congratulated him, and he thanked me so much. And he said, well, it just goes without saying, I've got imposter syndrome. You know, once I get there, they're going to find out who I really am. You know, and they're not going to be that impressed. So just pray for them. Maybe I'll have a good time until they catch on, okay? But, you know, he's doing a great job there. And I think that's the way Mary must have felt. Are you talking to me? Do you know who I am? Do you know I'm nobody special? I'm just a little young girl from a small, tiny town. But Gabriel says, no, you're the one. And so, you know, I'm going to work through you. God is, and he's going to do phenomenal things. And the angel says, don't be afraid, Mary. The angel told her, for you have found favor with God. Favor with God in this context is charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. Charis. And it's unmerited favor. The first time in the Old Testament that someone came up to a biblical character and said, you have found favor with God. In the Old Testament, it was Noah. He said, no, I want you to build an ark because there's going to be a flood. And it had never even rained before. Water just came up out of the ground, and that's the way everything was watered. And so, you know, nobody had ever seen water fall from the sky. Can you imagine? And Noah said, I'll do it, Lord. And it took him forever. If you want to go to Kentucky, you can see how big it was. And I've been up there, and I've walked. It's four levels. And you see how that could really happen. It comes to life when you go there. Now, the first time in the New Testament, somebody goes through an angel to God and says, you're favored, it's Mary. And Mary, just all of a sudden, she's been chosen. She's been blessed. She's been called by God. Mary's going to give birth to Jesus, the Messiah. He's going to be the Savior of the world. He's going to save people from their sins. And it says there, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And this is the fulfillment of Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, Mary had heard that all her life. She knew that very well. But she never dreamed that they were going to come to her. And it was going to happen through her. And she was going to give birth to the Son of God. Not me. I'm nobody. Surely, Lord, you meant to do that with someone else. But yet, that's who he wanted. And it goes on and says, he will be very great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, forever. And the kingdom, his kingdom, will never end. Can you imagine? I mean, I would just be blown away. I just couldn't even fathom that. And Gabriel says, there's a covenant. It's back in Psalm 89. God made a covenant with David. And he says, you know, I will establish your descendants as kings forever. And now it's coming true. Now there's 400 years of silence and they don't hear from God. And then boom, they hear from God. And God shows up, and he comes through the prophet Malachi. Way back in the Old Testament, he comes to Gabriel, and Gabriel comes to Zechariah. And 6 months later, Mary, he comes to her and says, "Greetings, favored woman." Now, Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." And he says, the angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. For the word of God will never fail." And Mary responded, so powerful to me, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. She didn't want that job. She didn't want that recognition. She's an unassuming young woman. But she said, "God, if that's what you want, that's what I want. So I'm willing to do something that I'm scared to death to do. But I'll do it for you." I think he came to her because she had that kind of spirit. He knew. He knew what she would do. And some of you today, you may be like Elizabeth and Zechariah because the Bible says that they were well advanced in years. Do you ever feel like you're well advanced in years? I don't ever feel like I'm well advanced in years until somebody tells me I am. You know, people will tell preachers anything. This happened to me twice. I'm not making this up. I went to the gas station, and the gas station says, "Please pay before you pump." So I went inside to the gas station, two different, Opelika, Alabama, and Freeport, Florida, both places. And I went in, and I said, "Hey, I need to pay before I pump." And they both said this. I'm not making this up. I think God was messing with me. They both said, "Oh, you don't have to do that." I said, "The sign says I'm supposed to pay before I pump." They said, "No, you don't have to do it." I said, "Why not?" They said, "That's just for the young men." I'm a customer. Who am I, Methuselah? What are you telling me? Just for the, he said, "Yeah, they come in and get gas and then they steal it. They just go." They said, "I can tell by looking at you, you won't do that, will you? You just think I won't do that because I can't move fast enough to get out of here, don't you?" I promise you they said that. And if you're listening today and you either feel like you're well advanced in years or somebody, some gift has come to you and told you that you're well advanced in years, I want you to feel good because these people, the scholars say they could have been in their 60s all the way up to their 80s and they're going to have a baby. Other than the fact of being way past childbearing years, what do you see? Gabriel calls. Remember the one who was called barren. Now, can you imagine that being your name? Here's Elizabeth. She's barren. Well, thanks for sharing, you know, every time. I mean, that's the way they knew her. That's the way they talked about her. And can you imagine Zechariah was a priest? How many times did he pray, "God, could we have kids? God, would you bless us with children? We take care of everybody else's kids. Could you just give us children? You know, they say my wife is barren, but I know you can do anything. Would you give her a baby?" And Gabriel shows up and he says, "Hey, Elizabeth is pregnant." Now, it says in the scripture she was 6 months pregnant. Why'd they mention that? Ladies, what happens when you're 6 months pregnant? You got a little baby bump, yeah. You got, and listen, I know all about that now because it's online. People I have never met before constantly are showing me their new baby bump. Here's my new baby. I'm pregnant. Here you go. Well, happy for you. Never met you. Never will. But okay, good on you. I'm happy. Because they want to tell the world, and they don't have a clue that I'm out there. And so I just say, okay, they got a baby bump, right? I've learned. I'm paying attention. I'm keeping up, okay? And so that's what they do. And so that's what's going on with Elizabeth. But now listen, Mary is not that far along, okay? And that's going to come into play in just a minute. It says, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. And she entered the house, and she greeted Elizabeth. And at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that baby that Elizabeth is carrying, that's John the Baptist. He's going to come first, so he's a little bit ahead, right? Because he's going to tell everybody about Jesus, the one who is to come. See how God worked all that out? And it's easy to look at Elizabeth and know, wow, she really is pregnant. But Elizabeth knows supernaturally that Mary is pregnant. Mary goes to see Elizabeth. Elizabeth's pregnancy is showing. Mary is not showing, and she's still confused and scratching her head saying, why me? And Gabriel shows Mary that Elizabeth is pregnant. And Elizabeth, I mean, Mary's thinking, how did Elizabeth get pregnant? I mean, look at her age. I mean, she's barren. That's the way everybody refers to her. How can this be? And God sends Gabriel to Mary. But listen, when God calls you and me to do something, and you don't believe in yourself, all you have to do is say, Lord, I don't believe I can do it, but I'll do it for you, and you'll do it through me, and I'll surrender to you. And that's what I want. The fact that Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant helps me. Well, if Elizabeth can get pregnant, I guess I can too, even though I've never even been with a man. And Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. I mean, that's a supernatural word from God. Elizabeth knows, and she's just celebrating the Messiah who's not even born. And before Mary can say anything, Elizabeth says, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Who's that sound like? Sounds like Gabriel, doesn't it? Now she's getting confirmation. I guess God really is going to do this then. Greetings, favored one of all women. And so now, sometimes I think God just has to remind us that we're favored. We're His children. You know how much you love your kids? You know how much God loves you? Man, He keeps up with the details of our lives. He loves us. He's focused on us. He's cheering us on from heaven. And it says, Elizabeth says, why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy, and you are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what He said. Amen. You believed that the Lord would do what He said. Do you believe? Do you really believe that God can do whatever He wants to do with anyone He wants to do at any time? He really can. And sometimes we believe that for other people, but we don't believe it for ourselves. And God does it for us. Mary believed. She surrendered her will. She prayed. And what was she praying? She wasn't praying, now, Lord, change your will. She was praying, your will be done. I surrender. And Gabriel says, you're going to have a baby, and he's going to fulfill the prophecies, and you have been chosen. And she's thinking, how can this be? Elizabeth is pregnant. How can this be? God has blessed you above all women. Your child is blessed. She's called, and she's chosen. And she's thinking, I'm the last person I thought this would happen to. God still calls people today. God still chooses people today. And He gives us divine appointments. And He gives us opportunities to say something positive to somebody who needs to hear it. Somebody who's asking us to say it. Somebody who needs us to smile at them and encourage them and affirm them. It might make all the difference for them. And Mary has to surrender more than once. It's not just one moment in her life, but it's moments in her life. And you do too. And because of that, God will work in powerful ways in our lives. Now, let me just wrap it up. I want to tell you a story. Just sit back and relax. You're going to make it to the restaurant, okay? You got plenty of time. I want to tell you a great story. It's a true story. You know, when I was looking at seminaries, I applied to two different seminaries, and one of them I applied to was Emory University in Atlanta, and there were three professors there I liked. I had friends who went to school there, and I liked these professors. I also applied to Asbury. I had a lot of buddies that went there. I ended up getting accepted there first. I went there, and that was God's plan. But there was a preacher from Tennessee that was a preaching. He was the preaching professor at Emory University when I was going to seminary. I never heard him preach. I just heard about him. His name is Fred Craddock, and he's a great preacher. He's dead and gone to heaven now. But Fred Craddock was really a poor guy. He grew up with a little bit of nothing over in a tiny little town in West Tennessee. One day, you know, now he's made it to the big time, and he's at Emory, and he and his wife are on vacation. They're up in the Smoky Mountains up in East Tennessee. They're just enjoying the weather up there. And they went in to get a cup of coffee and a piece of pie. And there's an old man that came in, and everybody in the restaurant knew him immediately, and they all spoke to him, and he spoke to all of them. And then he came over, and he introduced himself to them, and they introduced themselves to him. And when he found out that Fred Craddock was a preacher, he said, "If you're a preacher, I got to tell you a story, and it's all about me, and it's true." And the old man sat down beside Fred Craddock and his wife in that little restaurant in East Tennessee. And he said that when I was a child, I was born to a mother, a single mother, an unwed mother. Back in the day when they called us illegitimate children and much worse things. And he said, nobody in town would have anything to do with us. We lived out in a little bitty tiny community. When we came to town, people would cross the street to avoid us. People called me terrible names. I got in fights all the time at school. They called my mother terrible things. And so I just had to defend her. But he said, there was a little bitty church, little bitty tiny church in our community. And he said, I would go there sometimes. And he said, I would wait till the service started because I didn't want to offend any of those church people. And I would come in and sit on the back row. I'd come in late. And I would listen. And before church was over, I'd get up and get out. And he said, that day there was a new young preacher. First time he'd ever been there. He said, I listened to his sermon. He said, I liked to hear him preach because he talked about things I could understand. And he made sense. And that day, the preacher threw him for a loop. He said, now, normally, you know, you leave, but today, I'm going to go to the back door. And I want to shake everybody's hand. And I want to look in your eye, and I want you to tell me your name, a little bit about yourself, because I'm new, and I don't know you, and I want to get to know you. And so I'm going to be back there, and I'm looking forward to getting to know you. And this young boy at the time, he just froze in the back seat. He was stuck now. So he waited for all the church people to get out. And then he hoped the preacher wouldn't even see him. He just tried to draw up in a little ball so you couldn't even notice him on the back row. But that young preacher saw him. And he walked over to him. And he said, I'm so glad to see you today. I'm glad that you're here. And he said, now tell me, who's your daddy? And he said, I just melted. He said, I just turned red. And I looked down and I didn't know what to do. He said, but that young preacher, he said, he figured it out. He knew that he had said the wrong thing. And he said, he looked at me and he took my chin and he pulled my head up and he looked right into my eyes. And he said, you don't have to tell me. I already know. I can see the family resemblance. And then he said, you are a child of God. And that old man said, as a young boy, hearing the preacher say that I was a child of God, he believed in me. He had confidence in me. And you know what? It helped me to start having confidence in myself. And that little boy grew up. And do you know what he did in life? He was the two-time governor for the state of Tennessee. His name was Ben Hooper. He died in 1957, the year that I was born. Look him up. Ben Hooper with an H. And that preacher made all the difference for that young boy. Just a simple word of encouragement. That's all people really need. Just a listening ear. Just somebody who cares about them and shows them that God cares about them. So today I want to ask you to join me in prayer. Maybe today you and I could surrender to divine appointments. Maybe God could use us to listen to somebody else's story. Maybe we could listen to the voice of God challenging us to serve or give or spend time with Him or spend time with somebody else. And if we'll be open and if we'll be ready and if we'll surrender, we might just hear an amazing story too. Father, we want to be your servants, and so we're going to pray. Lord, we just pray that you would work through us as we surrender ourselves to you. Lord, some of us have gone through hard, hurtful, difficult times, but today we just want to surrender to you. We don't want to just surrender once in one moment, but we want to surrender from now on in several moments because we believe that you have called us to do that. And today, Lord, we want to receive your forgiveness, and we want to find the peace that only you can give us. It's a peace that passes all understanding, and the world's looking for it, but they can't find it. But you've got it. Jesus, we surrender our lives to you. Forgive us of our sins. We accept you as our Savior. Thank you for saving us. We trust you. And Lord, we want to walk with you from this day on. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen.